versus mental ascension. Subtitle was spiritual maturity. What we're going to tackle today is what is real faith versus mental ascension. And what happens to the believer when we don't exercise our faith properly in a way that we need to do. And so far we've looked at saving faith. God has given to each one of us that seed of faith, and how critical it is for that to crack open for our spiritual development. We also looked at the authority of God's Word last week, which is our nourishment to our spirit man, and how we tend to fast our spirit man by not being in the Word of God. We also know that hearing the Word of God is the way to bring faith, but to do what God says actually exercises faith and builds it up. Turn to Hebrews 4. We're going to talk about a little bit more about faith. And then we'll talk about mental ascension. Hebrews 4, verses 12 and 13. When you're there. I see one hand. Do I get two? I'm going for three. We got three. Do I get four, five? Okay, we're ready. No, I cannot be one of those guys who's an auctioneer. Those guys are, they're special. I do not have that gift of talking very fast. But let's go to Hebrews 4:12. It says, "For the word is of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes, or in other translations, intents of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before His eyes of Him to whom we must give an account." Turn to Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 2:13 quickly, and then we will start. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. I'm reading out of the NIV. Some of you have King Jimmy, New King Jimmy, and other translations, just to let you know where we're at. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, "And we also thank God continually, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is, the word of God which is at work in you, who believe." The key to any illustration of faith is belief. Okay? What we try to do is intellectualize God's Word. And I tend to be a head guy. I tend to want to know the nuances of everything. But it was really confounding to me that the only way I could learn what God was really saying by faith was to do what He said, then understanding always came. That's for me. We know that faith is now. We know faith is today. Okay? Faith is not future. What is future? Hope. Hope is future. Okay? What is it that you're believing God for today? Is what faith is all about. If you're believing God for salvation, today is the day of salvation. Don't let it slip by. You may not have another today. Really, that's what it's all about. We also know that faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. We also talked about how Jesus is the Word of God. So, to me, the way I put things together, if I'm reading His Word, Jesus is speaking to me because He is the Word of God, just written down for me, for you, and all who want to establish faith in heart. We also know that as we're listening to the Holy, to what Jesus is saying, the Holy Spirit who is in us is now convicting us of those areas in our lives that He wants to deal with. He is not condemning us. He is just showing us how far we are away from what we are to be. Okay? The question is, do you want by faith to become like Jesus Christ, or do you like your situation as it stands right now? For me, in my case, I didn't like my situation. And I was angry with God, and I tried to prove God wrong, and in my anger towards God and trying to prove Him wrong, He proved Himself right. And the rest is history. That's not a good thing, to try to prove God when you're angry. Just, it's not a good place to be. And like I said, when the word comes, it is alive, it is sharp, it cuts us, but it doesn't condemn us. It just shows the condition of where we are. And by faith, we surrender that condition to the Holy Spirit to allow Him to bring Jesus Christ into the reality through our lives. Faith is believing God's promises, Irene was saying here. Faith is active and alive, and our response to the word should be it according to your word. Remember last week I illustrated 18 things that Jesus fulfilled, and the odds of Him fulfilling those scriptures is astronomical. Even fulfilling one of them would be good, or two, but 18. And He did so much more to prove to us that He is the Christ. He is God incarnate. And all those things are not written down. We've in God's Word, it is highly selective. It is for the building of our faith. And it is to lead us into deeper faith in God. And since we're born again, all we need to do is stand. All it needs to happen is to stand to reason, is to feed our spirit on the Word of God. A lot of times, we read stuff in the Scriptures that really are our three fingers. I mean, they're dry, they're terrible, and we sometimes wonder why we're even reading those things. But like I said, you know, if we're going to read the word and declare, be it unto your word for my life, like Mary did when the angel came, then we need to take a different posture, a different position in our faith. If we're believing God to do things in our life, it requires that to be active. Let me illustrate. 1 Peter 2, 1 through 2 says, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up into your salvation. Most of us don't realize there are conditions laid on God's promises. If we are to drink the milk of God's Word, the condition is we have to get rid of some stuff. Okay? Why? Because He doesn't want weeds to grow up in our lives. He wants a harvest that is pure and good. If we don't do those things, if we don't do as Peter says, get rid of malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander, what do you think that does when we read the Word of God? It contaminates it. Because in order for us to receive the sincere milk of God's Word, we have to remove all contaminants. Right? It just stands to reason. That's why milk in the natural goes through a process we call that what? Pasteurization, right? It gets rid of all those things that would contaminate it. And I'll date myself. I grew up on milk that was not pasteurized. The farm across the street had cows, and they cleaned it, and we would drink that milk. It was good. It was okay. And as the cream would come to the top, how many of you have ever had natural milk before it was pasteurized? Good. Well, then you understand what I'm saying. All that cream that comes up contains all those impurities that's in there, but not all the impurities are gone. What we need to do is to begin to start removing these things as the Holy Spirit says that we need to remove when we come across those scriptures. Why? So that we can build our spirit man up. The spirit man is not filled with malice. He is not envious. He doesn't have slander on his lips. He does not deceive. Or can be deceived. Our spirit man has a divine nature contained within him. We have the triunity of God dwelling in us, Father, Son, and Spirit. And as we rid these things from our lives, more and more of Christ likeness comes out from us. It's like removing weeds from a garden. For those who have gardens, you understand that from time to time, you have to weed that stuff out of there. Why? So you can see the beauty. If not, like in some parts of my garden, there are weeds that are growing very tall. And so you could see where the weed is penetrating from it, and you have to get in there and take that out. Physically remove it from it. Why? Because weeds contaminate. They take nourishment away from the plant that is there. It's no different than in our lives. That these things that are left in our lives, not being dealt with, will zap the spiritual nourishment of God's Word from our lives, and then we're not changed. That's not what God wants to do. He wants us to change. He wants us to remove these weeds from our lives. This is where the Holy Spirit comes and He convicts us when He says, "Tony, I need you to get this anger issue under control. So let's deal with this. Let's take this out of your life." Well, you may not be ready. So you're wrestling with this stuff, like a lot of us, myself included. It's okay. He'll deal with it to the degree that you will allow Him to deal with it, eventually getting to the root issue in His timing, to where you willingly give that over to Him. He works through our conscience. A lot of us know that by faith, when the Holy Spirit convicts us, it's within our conscience. We want to do something, but we know that it wouldn't be good or prudent for us to do those things. And so what happens is we have this wrestling going on. We're either going to listen to our conscience, or we're going to do what we're going to do. And so we have this war going on because of the impurities that are in our lives that God wants to remove. But He will only remove them if you allow Him to remove them. James 1:21-25 says, "Therefore get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does." This is a perfect example of men of faith and people who give mental ascension to the Word of God. Perfect example. Why? Mental ascension isn't that the person is reading the word. They're deceived because they don't put it into action. They don't have faith. And so what we want to be are people of faith, in that when we see the Word of God and it says, do this, we need to do that, whether we're convicted or not. In my case, I wasn't convicted. I just did it. Why? Faith would build. I would understand later as to why I was doing this. I wasn't trying to understand it before I did it. That's not faith. Faith believes the promise that God will do what He says He will do. The problem is I tend to agree with Caleb when he says, generally. We generally honor those things that we say, or those promises we make. But then we look for ways in which we can get out of that. Because we really don't want to do the promise that we've made. And thereby we're ensnared by our lips. As I said before, if we don't remove these things out of our lives, they will contaminate the purity of God's Word in us. It was said to George Mueller that he read through the Bible times each year. Reading the Word of God is good, but putting it into application is better. And that's what he did. He read the Word, he applied the Word, he believed the Word. And if you have a chance to read his biography, George Mueller's biography, there are so many fantastic stories that he did. And one that just comes to me right now is he had set up an orphanage for kids. And he would go around the city of London and he would grab the kids and bring them back. Well, he had numerous kids in this orphanage, but he had no food to feed them with. So there was a guy who was going through the city, and his wagon broke. His wagon wheel broke. Well, what was he going to do? George looked out the window after praying and thanked God. This guy was a milkman, and he thanked God for providing at least milk for the kids to drink so that they would have some sort of sustenance for them to continue on. That was faith. What do you pray for is one thing. Do you pray expecting God to answer is faith. We need to learn that when we sit in our closets and we pray, we need to expect God to answer. If we don't expect Him to answer, will He do what He says to do? No, it's all the conditions of our hearts. And we have to understand that a person, as Scripture says, is a double-minded man, a person of mental ascension. A person who doesn't expect God to do the things that He wants them to do. Let's look at mental ascension. Turn to Proverbs 4. We should all know what faith is and should be operating by faith. That's why I don't want to labor this issue. Proverbs 4, verses 20 through 22. Says, my son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight, but keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to a man's whole body. We know that part of salvation isn't just freedom, it's healing. Health. And those of us, myself included, have relied and stood on the Word of God, where He has made these promises to us, and we've waited patiently to have that manifestation come. Has anybody ever, or maybe just me, that when your father tells you to do something when you were a kid, you have problems doing it? I guess it's just me and you. What happens is that within us is this rebellious condition that's in our heart that we don't want anybody to tell us what to do, let alone God. We don't want our parents to tell us. We know better than our parents. At least I thought I did. I found out how wrong I was and how little I understood. But God is our Father, and He's trying to get us to understand that, that His Word contains the wisdom and life and healing that we need as a people, so that we can jettison what we've had before to become what He's called us to be. How many of us, that when we sit down and we read the Word of God, we start getting out of focus? Things start coming into our minds. Our prayer time. We sit down and all of a sudden there's all kind of thoughts that go through our minds that we struggle in trying to pray the prayer of faith, study the Word, do the things that we need to do. And so what we do is we read it for reading sake, and then we don't put into action what the Word says. That's mental ascension. Mental ascension is, I've read the Word, I know the Word, I don't do the Word. Mental ascension doesn't listen to what God says. Mental ascension has difficulty focusing on what God is trying to convey to us about a situation. And so what happens is, because we have difficulty in focusing in this, we conclude improperly the thoughts and intents of other people because it doesn't line up with what we think. The truth of it is, we need to line up with what He thinks. And our prayer closet is one that is in dire need. If we don't shut ourselves up in our prayer closets to be with God, it will be impossible to shut out the world from intruding into our lives because we're out of focus. We will constantly be thinking of other things, and that is a distraction that the enemy throws. But I read my Bible. Okay. It's good you read your Bible. You do what it tells you to do. Well, you know, I'm trying. No, it doesn't say anywhere in here to try. It says do. God doesn't give us directives that we can't do. Everything that He tells us to do, it is something we can do. Remember, the condition of a person who is given to mental ascension is that person who reads the Word is like that guy who looks into a mirror, sees what he looks like, and then walks away and forgets. We forget what the Word says. We forget what God is emphasizing. We forget because we don't apply. Part of the thing is that those who are teachers understand this principle. Kids can follow your direction, but if they don't apply it on the paper, say addition, they may know 1 and 1 is 2 mentally, But when it comes test time to get to the harder things, like 3 plus 4 equals, well, I know that. Well, okay, put it down. Show me. And the reason for it is because in our systems today of education, we don't make kids do what they're supposed to do in order to enhance their ability, their learning ability, to become fully what they're being educated for. And I like to sit down with kids and hey, what do you want to be when you grow? I don't know. Well, what do you mean you don't know? Don't you have an idea? No, I'm just going to school and learning this stuff. What do you mean? There's no aspiration for future. There's no desire to be something. They're just going through the motion. And that's just what a person given to mental ascension does. They just go through the motion. There's no rhyme or reason to their life. Their life is full of chaos because they're not listening to what God says. Nor will they, because they don't want him to tell them what to do. I'm guilty. Psalm 107, 17 through 29 says, some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent forth his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. In other words, what the psalmist is saying here is they wouldn't listen. They wouldn't feed on the word of life. They wouldn't listen to God. They did what they wanted to do, and their life became so bad that the only thing they had left was to cry out to God. Help me. Save me. What did Jesus say? Call my name and I will save you. He wants to save you. He doesn't want us to be in distress. He doesn't want us to not implement the basics for life. He doesn't want to fill our heads up with a bunch of stuff. He wants to change our hearts and fill our hearts with his heart, with his wisdom, with his word, so that we can accomplish his will for our lives. How many of us know what we have been called to do by God? Okay. It would go to reason that you would do everything to be trained so that you can be a fully usable vessel for God, correct? Those of you who weren't brave enough to raise your hand may know what your call is, but you don't think that what you're doing is God's call. It is. You get educated to do the things that you're doing because that's what you have found that causes your heart to become aflamed with stuff. Those who are psalmists and musicians, they have a passion for music. Those of us who are called to be shepherds have a passion for God's people, that they become all they have been created. And it's our desire to encourage that relationship with Jesus Christ to be second to none. What happens is with the mental ascension is we're given over to pride and arrogance. We become stubborn. And we don't allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives because we are filled with unbelief. And so we deceive ourselves. And in that deception, we limit what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives. Smith Wigglesworth said, the trouble with many Christians is that they have a spiritual squint, with one eye open to the promises of God, and with the other, they look to the world's direction. It's true. It is true. The people of God must learn to have one focus, a single eye, as Scripture says. Not worrying about what others say or think about us, but us doing what God has instructed us to do, irregardless to the world's opinion of us. And as we develop this single eye, what happens is God places with other people that have this singleness of eye. They are not deterred by the obstacles that come in their lives. They look at these obstacles as inconveniences to overcome or sweep out of the way, because the mission is more important than my comfort. The mission is more important than somebody else's opinion. The mission is more important than my own wants and desires. Those who give mental attention are those who look at these obstacles and things that impede them as excuses not to do the Word of God, not to live to the fullness that God has for us. Because they don't want to accomplish what God has for their lives. They want what they want, and if it interferes if any inconvenience interferes with their wishes, then what they'll do is keep that in a way that separates them from doing the Word of God. Mental ascension. And I've met many people that know the Word better than I do. In and out. Chapter, verse. I look at the fruit of their lives. I look what's going on. What you know, your life can't tell me something different than your lips are. I look at fruit. Jesus said, you'll know them by the fruit. And so when people tell me, oh, pastor this or pastor that, it's great, but I'm looking at the fruit that's going on in a person's life. Why? Because I want to see if they're people of faith. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to me if a person is taking baby steps, which that's what all What About Bob is all about. Ever see that movie? I hate it. What matters is that you're taking those steps of faith. Whether they're small or great, you're taking those steps of faith because you're believing God for something. You're believing God for something today. You're believing and not making excuses about your life. I've had people come to me, laundry list of excuses. And I'm sitting there and I'm listening to all the laundry lists of what they can't do. And then I'll just put my hand up and say, can I ask one question? Yeah, sure, Pastor. What is it that we can do? You're not telling me anything we can do. I want to work with you, but you're not giving me anything that we can do. And it strikes them in such a way that it's like all of a sudden it's like a bucket full of cold water has been thrown onto them. What is it that we can do? What is it that God is trying to get you to do? It may be simple, just surrender your life to Him. Or something that in my life, He's taken me on to another phase. But in order for that next phase to happen, I have to do certain things to prepare for that. I have to believe that God is saying this and do all I can to be in a position for Him to do this for me. Whatever controls our heart controls the course of our lives. Does the Word of God hold your heart? Because you don't want to do anything that would be contrary to the Word of God. Whatever controls our heart controls our experiences. We will only go in those directions to the things that control us. I love the illustration of getting free. Why would people not want to get free? Jesus came to set the captives free. We're here to help set captives free. We're here to extend His ministry to make people free, to enjoy God like they've never enjoyed Him before. Understand this, is what God said in Isaiah 55:11. So it is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire, and it will achieve the purpose for which I have sent it. God has spoken over each one of our lives. Whether you realize it or not, He has. And He has declared that He loves us unconditionally. That's why He went to the cross. He sent His Word, Jesus Christ, and it accomplished through His life what God had purposed for it. And now that Word comes to us. God has a purpose for your life. You may not think that that purpose, whether it's being a mom, which I find is an awesome purpose because you get to mold and shape the next generation. Fill them with their minds amush with good concepts and practical things that God has for them to set them. Or you may have technical skills in which to influence not just your job, but people at your job. To bring them into the kingdom of God. To bring them, to make them sons and daughters. Because God's will is that He doesn't want anybody to perish, but all come to repentance. All change their mind about where they're going and come back to Him. I know this is very remedial. And we know these things. But it's always good to hear these things once again to keep us from getting stale. To summarize what I've shared today is basically faith grows by keeping our eyes on the promises of God unwaveringly. And it grows by hearing the Word and consistently putting it into action. Faith is in God's Word, is given the authority that He has to it, credence to get us saved, to regenerate our spirits by the Holy Spirit, to become nourishment for our spirit man, so that we can grow strong in our relationship with God because we have His divine nature dwelling within us. Mental ascension occurs when we don't remain focused on God's Word. We don't remember that we are of divine character, that we are supernatural people, destined to do supernatural things for the expansion of His kingdom and for His glory. Mental ascension doesn't have a practice of consistency putting the Word into action. It has a consistency of making excuses. May mentally understand the Word, but never put it into action. Mental ascension happens when we allow our attention to be divided. We're not focused on the direction that we're going. Thereby we waver in the promises of God, whether it's our healing, whether it's financial security, whether it's having a better marriage. God has the remedy for all of them. But we have to find them things out. We have to search them out. According to Deuteronomy 29:29, the word says that the things of God are for God, but the things that God has revealed are for the people of God. Everything that you need is found in Jesus Christ. Everything. And Christ is His title. It's not His name. He is Messiah. He is God incarnate. Mental ascension pays no attention to what God has done or what God wants to do, because their will is still in the way. We have to take God at His word when He says that all who knock, it shall be opened to them. All who seek will find it. And all who ask will receive. But there is an action correlated in you receiving, opening, even having. And it takes faith to unlock that. And it'll take faith to stand on it. Because everything in the kingdom operates by faith. Everything. And when you understand that, your life changes. Because now He's given you the keys to the kingdom. And He wants you to use them. It's our Father's desire to give us the kingdom. He's given us the keys. What are we going to do?